Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is again with Arthur Cruzado with Today's Bible Prophecy Ministries. I want to welcome you to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. Let's do the turn of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Great to be back with you live on the air. And I am coming to you live from Jane Lou, West Virginia, where beginning tomorrow morning, that will be August the 21st, I will be speaking at Second Baptist Church in Ravenswood, West Virginia. Second Baptist Church in Ravenswood, West Virginia. And I am looking forward to being with Pastor Richard Parsons and all of his fine people. And we are looking forward to being with Brother Parsons, and we are looking forward to being with all of his people. And so we are really excited to be going to Second Baptist Church. It's been maybe a couple of years since we have been at the Second Baptist Church in Ravenswood, and I really enjoy going there. There's a lot of history over there, and so we are looking forward to being with Pastor Richard Parsons and all of his fine people, and looking forward to having an all-day Bible prophecy conference. And so I will be speaking at Second Baptist Church in Ravenswood, West Virginia. That will be for their Sunday school, which is about an hour or so. Their Sunday school, their Sunday morning service at 11 a.m., and their 6 p.m. service. So we're looking forward to having a great time over there at Second Baptist Church, Ravenswood, West Virginia. That'll be 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and the 6 p.m. service. I will be preaching all three of those services August the 21st, 2016. And so I hope and pray that you would come on by, say hello. We would love to meet you. And, of course, just enjoy an all-day Bible prophecy conference. And so we are really looking forward to this. And so if, again, folks, you live anywhere in that area at all, please come on out and see us. We would love to have you. As again, we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And so, again, we want to thank all of you watching by way of Facebook. And we were on earlier this morning at 11 a.m., and we just had a great time as we were reading out of Revelation chapter number 2. And so we had a wonderful time studying out of Revelation chapter number 2. And I hope that you joined us. If you missed any part of that study, go back to the archive, rewind it, and you'll be able to, you know, see it again, take your notes, write your notes down. And I hope that it will be a blessing to you. But I am also right now live on Blog Talk Radio. So if you were to go to the Blog Talk Radio website, Today in Bible Prophecy Radio, on Blog Talk Radio, then you can also listen to me live through Blog Talk Radio, and you're watching me live via Facebook live stream. And so right now Facebook says that we're building an audience for you, and we're telling your friends to join your video, and we are spreading the word that that you are live. So we appreciate them doing that. We appreciate all of you that have been watching our YouTube videos, our Facebook videos, and so on. and so forth. You know, you can follow me on all of the social networks. You can follow me on Facebook, simply August Rosado. Send me a Facebook friend request. You can also follow me on Twitter, Bible_prophecy. And I have a news event and news posters that go on Twitter every single day. And, of course, on LinkedIn, and you can also follow us on that as well. So you can follow me on those three social networks. And so, but this is only going to be a 45-minute broadcast that I'm doing on Blog Talk Radio as well as on Facebook live stream. So we will be done by 3:15 p.m. And then after 3:15 p.m., my wife and I are going to pack it up here from Jane Lou, West Virginia, and we're going to drive about 2 hours to Ravenswood, West Virginia, where I will be getting set to preach an all-day Bible prophecy conference at Second Baptist Church. So, again, if you live anywhere in that area, come on out and join us as I look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. So I hope that you would take an opportunity to join us. We will also try to live stream our prophecy conference from Second Baptist Church there in Ravenswood. So hopefully you'll be able to join us, and we are looking forward to that. So what I would like to do right now is, again, follow me. Go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, todayinbibleprophecy.org. While you're there, sign up for our newsletters. They go out every single week. The website right now is under construction, and so please bear with us, as I know people keep on, you know, contacting me saying, when are you going to have your speaking engagement up, your calendar up? Everything is new, you know, with this GoDaddy thing. Everything is new. They updated everything. Websites are new. All this stuff is new. And so, you know, please bear with us as, you know, we take a moment to try to update the website. And so I hope that you would allow us to do that. But, you know, we're going to have a store up and running on that, and we're going to have some good things going there. So we really do appreciate that. As you know, folks, I'll be leaving for Israel September the 18th. September the 18th, I am going to be leaving for Israel. I think I may have left my Bible right here. I know I did. Okay. We're going to be leaving for Israel on the 18th. And so Zola Levitt Ministries is going to be sending myself, my good friend, Pastor Baron Rodericks of First Baptist Church in Bellingham, Massachusetts, and four other individuals, including Dr. Todd Baker, will be leaving for Israel. And so the hotels are paid for, the meals are paid for, so we're really excited about that. But we need to rent a car out there. So Baron and myself need to rent a car. So we're asking for all of you who watch us, you know, or who follow us, Facebook Live or Blog Talk Radio, if you could help out with that with your financial support, that would really be a blessing. We're looking to raise about $1,000 or so to rent that automobile. And, of course, that would not only cover the automobile, it would cover the deposit as well as the gas while we are out there. And so if you could help out with any type of support, whether big or small, folks, it would really greatly be appreciated. We're going out there to pass out Bibles and to share the good news of the gospel of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, with the Jewish people and the Arab people as well. So if you would like to send a check to help support, to help out with the car rental, then you can send it to Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, 55 Pleasant Street, Apartment 2, Lincoln, Rhode Island, 02865. Designate that as support for the car rental. Also, you can go to our website and you could donate through PayPal for the rental, excuse me, for the car rental. And you can just, you know, designate that support for the car rental, and you will have an opportunity. You will be taking part in helping us in sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus for both Jews and Arabs there in Israel. So we are really looking forward to that. I want to thank Janice Wattenberger. I can see that she has joined into the show. Janice, thank you so very much. By the way, if you would like to call in, if you would like to call in with a Bible prophecy question, you can call the toll-free number, 877-659-8944. 877-659-8944. That is the toll-free number for the, if you have a Bible prophecy question, you want to call into Blog Talk Radio, or if you're watching via Facebook Live, you can type in your question, you know, where you hit those little funny faces and where, you know, you can type in your comment. If you have a prophecy question, we can try to answer that question there as well. So people are watching via live Facebook, and you can listen via live through Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you know, what we also do, folks, is that we, you know, we get our camera up and running as well, and then we upload all these things onto Facebook. I'm sorry, not Facebook, but we can also upload them to Facebook as well. But we also upload them to YouTube. And so we want to thank all of the YouTube subscribers who watch our videos every single week. We have so much video to upload. It's not even funny. I think I got like half a year's worth of videos that I need to upload. And so that's the reason why we record it on the computer and upload it to Facebook. All of you watching live on Facebook Live, you could watch that as well. And then those listening on Blog Talk Radio. So what I would, what I'd like to do right now is I want to get to the lesson for the day. And, you know, it's incredible because, you know something? America could have been speaking Hebrew, the language of the United States of America, could have been Hebrew, or they say Evrit. In Hebrew. Hebrew is a beautiful, one of the most beautiful languages that are out there today. The language of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Messiah. Janice, thank you so very much. I really, really do appreciate your support. Thank you so much in helping us and supporting us for the power rental there in Israel. What a real blessing that you are. We thank you so much, Janice Wattenberger. We appreciate you and love you dearly. Hebrew could have been the official language of the state of Israel. You know, I look at Genesis chapter 42 and verse number 23. Genesis 42 and verse number 23, where the Word of God says this. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. You know, and of course, you know, when you go to Israel today, you might bump into someone who doesn't speak English. They speak Hebrew, and our tour guide is there with us. He would be like an interpreter. Even though English is another language there in Israel, a lot of Israelis know English. You know, the majority of them do. Some of them, minority, don't. But, you know, they understand English pretty well there. In Israel, but there are times where you need an interpreter, and that's, you know, the Bible says that Joseph, when he went into Egypt, he needed an interpreter based on Genesis 42 and verse number 23. But a prophecy that we see concerning Hebrew is in Zephaniah chapter number 3. I want to read that to you. But Zephaniah is right after the book of Habakkuk. In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse number 9, notice what it says right here. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse number 9 says this. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one consent. So God said that one day he would revive a pure language. He would restore a pure language. Now, Hebrew is indeed a pure language, and I will tell you why that Hebrew is a pure language. And of course, folks, we'll get to that in a few moments. But if you are American, your first language could have been Hebrew, Ifrit, as they say in Israel. And you know, if had history turned out slightly different, Americans today might have been speaking Hebrew rather than what we speak today, English. And you know, folks, it's not as far-fetched as it seems, as the original settlers here in America, of course, besides the Indians, were deeply connected to the Word of God. They were deeply connected to the Bible. The earliest knowledge of Hebrew being proposed as America's national language, it goes all the way back to the year 1620. And, of course, at that time, William Bradford was the leader of the Pilgrims, and he wanted to set off to find a new world. They, of course, they set sail on the Mayflower, seeking to find freedom from religious persecution. They saw their journey as a reenactment of the Exodus, just as the children of Israel left Egypt on their way to the Promised Land, the land of milk and honey. You know, William Bradford and the Pilgrims saw their leaving Europe on their way to what would be America, you know, as an exodus from Europe to here to America. So to them, it was a reenactment of the Jewish exodus from ancient Egypt. And so Bradford sought to unify the group before they disembarked. And, you know, he is being recorded as being fanatical, just extremely fanatical about the Hebrew language. William Bradford loved the Hebrew language, and he studied the Hebrew language, probably even fluent in the Hebrew language, as he believed that after his death, he was ancient language. This is what he said, Hebrew, with God and the angels. You know, many today believe that Hebrew will be the official language of heaven, since God said it's a pure language. There's a reason why God said that's a pure language. I'm going to show you that in a few moments. But it is noted that there was a vote that was taken on the Mayflower. They all went to a referendum as to which language the new settlers would speak in the new world. And Hebrew, you ready for this, folks? Hebrew lost by one vote. Wow. One vote. And Hebrew would not be the official language of the United States of America. Can you imagine if it would have been unanimous? Hebrew would have been the official language of the United States of America, because William Bradford was just infatuated with the Hebrew language. He wanted to make it the language of the people of his day. So, in, of course, in 1780, Hebrew was once again proposed as the official American language, as the pioneers had an extreme dislike for anything British. They just hated anything that was connected to the British Empire, including the English language. So, of course, our Marquis de Chatelot, a companion to George Washington, recorded that Americans, and I quote, have seriously proposed to introduce a new language, and some, for the public convenience, would have the Hebrew substituted to the English, taught in the schools and used in all public. Can you imagine that? It goes through a referendum, and, you know, it loses by one vote. If it would have been unanimous, all of us in America would have been speaking Ivrit. We would have been speaking Hebrew today. You know, we would have saw, you know, the common American on the street, you know, today, we would have said, Shalom Yom Tov Baruch Hashem. You know, it was speaking the Hebrew language. Well, of course, it lost by one vote. That is not the case. But Marquis de Chatelot writes that at the time of the American Revolution, he said this, and I quote, certain members of Congress proposed that the use of English be formally prohibited in the United States and Hebrew substituted for it. Of course, Ronnie Siegel, the academic advisor for E-Teacher, this is a group of Jews who teach Christians how to speak the Hebrew language. It's an online language academy. He told Breaking Israel News that Hebrew was taught in many of the top American universities in the late 17th and early 18th centuries. Columbia, Brown, Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Princeton, the University of Pennsylvania, William and Mary, and even the option to deliver the commencement speeches in Hebrew, Latin, or in Greek. And of course, as many of the founding fathers attended these universities, including Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, it seems clear that they were all acquainted with both the Bible as well as the Hebrew language. Additionally, some Hebrew words or phrases were included in official university emblems or seals today. You know, for example, if you ever see, you know, if you ever saw this seal, at Yale, it's an open book. It looks like a Bible, and there's Hebrew that's written on it. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew words are Urim Vitumim, which was the part of the high priest's breastplate in the days of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Of course, Columbia University, Dartmouth, both have God's name written in Hebrew on their seals. So, of course, you know, so strong is America's attachment to Hebrew, common practice to give babies biblical Hebrew names, such as Sarah, Aaron, Aaron, Miriam, or what we would say Mary, David, David, Adam, Adam, Eve. There are no less than 15 places in the United States called Zion. Zion was the upper hill in the city of Jerusalem today. For places in America called Zion, along with 26 Salems in the United States of America today. Salem, that's going all the way back to the book of Genesis. Salem was one of the original names for the city of Jerusalem. So, of course, Salem, and of course, that was the city of Melchizedek. Other American cities named from Hebrew include Eden, Rehoboth, Sharon, Bethel, Canaan, Hebron, Mamre, and Mount Moriah. So, of course, you know, today, with Israel being recognized as the startup nation along with the wonders of technology, there's a growing interest in traditional Bible study and, of course, in learning Hebrew today, especially among Christians who call themselves, you know, Christian Zionists. So Hebrew has never been so easier to learn with courses provided online, you know, all over the place. You can find all types of, you know, Hebrew courses online, even free for that matter. So, you know, as they say, it's never too late to connect back to God's language, even 300 years after America's founding fathers' first proposal was to make Hebrew the official language of the United States of America. And yet, folks, we read in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse number 9, where God told the Jewish prophet Zephaniah, "But then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." You see, folks, after the destruction of the Second Temple by the Romans in 70 A.D., you know, the Jews were scattered to the four corners of the earth, and these same Jews assimilated into the cultures of other nations, Goyim in Hebrew, the Gentile nations, and they did not want to make Hebrew, you know, their official language. You know, they wanted to integrate into other nations, you know, to avoid any type of a persecution. If they did speak Hebrew, it would only be spoken in the synagogue during the Shabbat, which is Hebrew for Sabbath. It would only be spoken in the Shabbat, in the synagogue, during Friday evening and Saturday morning during the synagogue service. But they would never use Hebrew as a, you know, everyday conversation at work or in the streets, because they wanted to avoid any type of persecution. And then, of course, you know, when the Jews started coming back to the land of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, when they started to come back, you know, there was one man by the name of Eliezer ben Yehuda. Eliezer ben Yehuda, seeing that Jews were coming back into the land of Israel, wanted to escape the persecutions, you know, in Europe, he said, listen, we need to revive Hebrew once again as the, you know, official language of the state of Israel. And the rabbis totally opposed this. They said, wait a minute. Hebrew is the holy tongue. It's the language of the Bible. We will not make Hebrew the everyday tongue on the streets, the land of Israel. We will make it, you know, we'll only speak it in the synagogues, but not in everyday life here in the land of Israel. So we will not speak Hebrew. And Eliezer ben Yehuda was totally opposed. Even some rabbis were telling him that Hebrew was nothing more than a dead language. And Eliezer looked at him and said, I'm alive, and I'm speaking Hebrew. Did you not read Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, you rabbi, that God said that one day he would restore a pure language as Jews began to flock into the Holy Land? Eliezer ben Yehuda made that push to restore and to revive the Hebrew language. He was even thrown in jail, you know, by the Turkish authorities, because the Turks were ruling the land at that time before the British rule in 1917. And, you know, the rabbis, authorities, the Turks arrested Eliezer ben Yehuda, threw him in jail. And but, you know, that did not stop him. He said, if you come into my house, you will speak Hebrew. You will speak Hebrew around my wife. You will speak Hebrew around my children. You will not speak any other language around us other than Hebrew. And then, of course, he started schools there in Israel. He had classes. And then, of course, the interest began to build and build and build, you know, as, you know, Hebrew started to take off. And then before you know it, Hebrew became the official language of the Jewish people. And even though, again, there was still a lot of opposition that was going on, this would not discourage Eliezer ben Yehuda. Folks, this guy single-handedly revived an ancient biblical dead language. God used this guy to revive this language, Ivrit, Hebrew, to revive the Hebrew language. Today, Hebrew is the official language of the state of Israel. Arabic coming in second, and then, of course, English is third. So they really don't have any problem understanding you there in Israel when you speak English, because when they go to school, you know, one of the main language courses they have to take as an Israeli is English. So a lot of Israelis speak, you know, pretty decent English over there, and they understand you very well. But the language of the land is Ivrit. The language of the land is Israel. Even today when you walk, you know, say you're in Tel Aviv or you're in Jerusalem, you will see street signs, Eliezer ben Yehuda Rehov, Eliezer ben Yehuda Street. And they love Eliezer ben Yehuda because despite the opposition, even by the rabbis, the guys who are supposed to know the scriptures, yet had no idea of the prophecy of Zephaniah chapter 3 in verse number 9, where God said that I will one day restore a pure language. So why do they call Hebrew a pure language? I was told by my tour guide, my Israeli tour guide of Israel. I said Hillel. His name was Hillel Bar Sadeh. I said, Hillel, I said, why do they call Hebrew a pure language? And he said to me, he calls me Rabbi all the time. I don't know why. He said, Rabbi, he says, the reason why Hebrew is called a pure language in the scriptures is because if you hear an Israeli cuss, or if you hear an Arab cuss. They're cussing because they're either using the English language or the Arabic language. You cannot find any cuss words in the Hebrew language. There are no cuss words whatsoever in the Hebrew language. And this is the reason why, again, in Zephaniah 3:9, God said, "But then will I turn to the people, the Jewish people, pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent," a pure language. And, folks, that is it. That is the Hebrew language. I was absolutely blown away when Hillel Bar Sedai told me that, and it was confirmed by other Israeli tour guides that I've had out there when I take our tour groups to Israel. And so you can't cuss using the Hebrew language. No swears, no cussing in the Hebrew language. If you cuss, you're using the English language, plenty of them there, the Arabic language, or some other foreign language out there, but not in the Hebrew language. And, of course, the Jews are coming back into the land that led up to the rebirth of the Jewish state of Israel, May the 14th of 1948. And that fulfills Ezekiel 36, where God says 18 times, he uses this phrase 18 times in Ezekiel 34, rather, 18 times, "I will, I will, I will, I will." He uses that phrase 18 times in Ezekiel 34, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I will gather the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth. I will bring them back into their own homeland. I will be a God to them. I will protect them from their enemies. I will, I will, I will, I will." In Ezekiel 36, it talks about the restoration of Israel. Ezekiel 37, the dry bones of Israel. The dry bones would be the Jewish people, the graves. Where these dry bones are would be the Gentile nations that they have been scattered to. And then God tells Ezekiel, "Son of man," he's called Son of Man 93 times in his book. He said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I love Ezekiel's response, "O Lord, thou knowest." And he said, "Son of man, these bones," Ezekiel 37:11, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." Ezekiel hears the shaking, bone coming to bone, the sinews, flesh coming upon the bones, the breath comes into them, and they stand an exceeding great army, the rebirth of the state of Israel. That was fulfilled May the 14th of 1948. Can you imagine that? Israel's first prime minister, said this when he got up, right in front of that camera, Ben-Gurion. When he got up in front of that camera with the Israeli Constitution in his hand at Independence Hall in Tel Aviv, Israel. I was there with Dr. Todd Baker this past December, and we were standing, folks, where Bible prophecy was fulfilled. Right at the same podium with the original microphone, the original chairs, everything was there. And here he is in 48. With the Israeli Constitution in his hand. He looked into that microphone, and this is what he said. He said, "We, the Jewish people, declare to the world, as foretold by the Jewish prophet, the rebirth of the Jewish state of Israel." Again, that fulfilled Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 37, Amos 9:15, Isaiah 66, verses 7 and 8, "Shall a nation be born in one day." Woo! Yeah, one day. I'm not a day setter, but I do have a date for you. May the 14th, 1948. The rebirth of the Jewish state of Israel. And, of course, again, the official language of Israel, language of the state of Israel, is the Hebrew language. If the rabbis had their way, Hebrew would not have been the official language of the state of Israel, even though they were oblivious to the prophecy of Zephaniah 3:9 that God would restore a pure language. But yet, God raised up one man, Eliezer ben Yehuda, to revive the Hebrew language. And today, Hebrew is the official language of the Jewish state of Israel. The Jewish people are back in their own homeland. And the Arab world simply hates it. The world hates it. Satan hates it. Why? Satan hates the Jew. Because, number one, they gave us this book. They gave us the Word of God. They gave us the Bible. You know, Romans 3:2 says God committed the oracles or the scriptures to them. They gave us the Bible, and they also gave us Yeshua HaMashiach ben David ben Avraham. They gave us Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. They gave us the Lord. And that's the reason why Satan hates the Jew so very much. Satan is the father of anti-Semitism. Anybody who hates the Jew and says that they have no right to their land, you're an anti-Semite. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are an anti-Semite. And you know what Jesus said about anti-Semites in John 8:44? Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." Satan is the father of all hatred, father of all murders, father of all lies. And he simply does hate the Jewish people. But, you know, sometime after the rapture of the church and during that seven-year period of tribulation to come, Satan, using his henchmen, the Antichrist and the false prophet, will make one final push to exterminate the Jewish people. Find that written down in Revelation chapter number 12. But God is always a step ahead of the devil. And God will protect his people. He will preserve his people. Because in Satan's mindset, if I can destroy the Jewish people, and if I can destroy the land of Israel, that will thwart the second coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth. Because when Jesus comes back to this earth at his second coming, at the end of the seven-year period of tribulation, he is coming back to the city of Jerusalem, to the Mount of Olives, my favorite place to visit when I'm in Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives, where Zechariah 14:4 says, "His feet shall touch the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east." And so when Yeshua, Jesus, comes back, he is coming back to the Mount of Olives. Wow. His feet will touch the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split right in half. He is going to reestablish the throne of King David based on 2 Samuel 7:16, Isaiah 6:9 and 7, Luke 1:32 and 33. And he's going to reign from the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7. He will reign for 1,000 years. So, folks, when I listen to an Israeli speak Hebrew, whether I'm in Israel or here in America, just yesterday here in West Virginia, we took a ski lift all the way up this huge mountain. And I noticed these group of Israelis that were there. And I looked at them. I said, "Shalom, Ashlomcha." You know, hello, how are you? They said, "Tov miyo, Baruch Hashem." Thank you very much. Blessed be his name. And they looked at me and said, "Ani Yehudi." You know, "Are you Jewish?" And I said, "Well, I have a Jewish, my savior is a Jewish carpenter. I do have a Jewish heritage on my dad's side, the family." But, you know, they were just absolutely blown away that they saw an American conversing with them in a little bit of Hebrew. And so when I listen to an Israeli in Israel or here in the States converse in Hebrew, I mean, Hebrew is one of the most beautiful languages on the face of the earth today. And if that language was good enough for the Lord Jesus as a first century Jewish rabbi, I'll tell you, folks, it's good enough for me. So Hebrew could have been the official language of America, but it fell by only one vote. man, if it would have been unanimous, all of us in America today would have been speaking the language of the Lord Jesus, the language of the Jewish people, the language of the Hebrew. Well, you know, we have like 5 minutes left in the broadcast, and then my wife and I, we got to pack it up, and we got to drive at least 2 hours to Ravenswood, West Virginia, where tomorrow morning, all day tomorrow morning, I'm going to be speaking at Second Baptist Church, Ravenswood, West Virginia. I'll be speaking at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and at 6 p.m. on current world events in light of biblical prophecy. So if you live in the Ravenswood area or any of the surrounding areas there, come on out and join us for an all-day Sunday Bible Prophecy Conference, Baptist Church in Ravenswood, West Virginia. Now, for those of you who are right now watching live on Facebook live streaming, if you have a prophecy question, maybe a question related to you know, this program, this radio show, again, not only are you watching me live, but you can also listen in on Today in Bible Prophecy Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And also, this is being video recorded, and it will be uploaded to YouTube sometime next week. So I want to thank you, Janice Wattenberger, again, for tuning in to the live feed. And she said this, I so wish hubby and I could go to Israel sometime. Well, you know, who knows how long, Janice, that door is going to be open for anybody to visit the land of Israel, Bob. I would encourage every born-again believer and every Christian out there, take an opportunity to visit the land. You'll never read that Bible, man, the same way again. I tell people, if we're in Israel and we get raptured, it's only going to be a domestic flight for us, amen? But I also appreciate you, Janet, looking to send support for the car rental while we're out there in Israel, September the 18th through the 29th, sharing the gospel out there with the Jews and the Arabs. Thank you so much for sending your support. I appreciate it. I also see Mark Lambert. I've known Mark for a while now. Him and I used to go to a church out there in Swansea, Massachusetts. And Mark, I'm so glad that you joined in today. Hope you're doing well, you and your family, buddy. God bless you. And you keep on keeping on over there. Richard Cotton also joined in today. Richard, thank you so much for tuning in to the show. Janice Wattenberger said, that's amazing. Think how much nicer and kinder America would be if Hebrew was our language. Janice, that is an awesome, awesome thought right there. How would things be today if, you know, the early settlers would have voted unanimously to make Hebrew the official language of the United States of America, even though it fell by only one vote? How would things be today, Janice Wattenberger? That is really, really interesting. Jerry Moore, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate that. And Janice says, I just got chills. Dave Florio, my buddy, my friend, him and his wife, Maggie Florio, are just dear people to me. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon, Dave, and I'm looking forward to hooking up and going on those gigs with you there, buddy. Scott, Jen, and by the way, Dave and Maggie notified me earlier today at 11 a.m. that they trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. So we rejoice with them. And, you know, Dave, yeah, I do agree with you. You know, there's a lot of demonic activity out here today, and that's the reason why all, you know, these things are coming up for you guys. And, you know, Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the prince and the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. He can transform into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. And so, yeah, that's the reason why, Dave, for these demonic activities and things have been going on with you guys over there. So I'm looking forward to getting together with you and talking about that. Scott Jen says, whoops, we got it. Let me just try to fix that there. Scott Jen says, God bless you, brother, for your diligence in study and sharing your knowledge. Safe travels for you and yours. Scott, Jen, thank you so very much. God bless you. Appreciate you. And, well, folks, we only have a few minutes left right here, so there's a lot of comments, not really a whole lot of prophecy questions, which is okay. I appreciate the feedback. Thank you guys so very much. Now, don't forget, Monday morning at 11 a.m., unless there's a change, Monday morning at 11 a.m., we will get to Revelation chapter number 3. We'll get to Revelation chapter number 3, so I hope that you guys decide to join me and tune in via live Facebook. All of you on YouTube, you can join me via live Facebook every weekday at 11 a.m. as we go through the book of Revelation. And, of course, if you know, my Facebook is it's public, so anybody can tune in and watch my, you know, my video teachings, live streaming, and so on and so forth. And I hope that you would take the opportunity to do exactly that. But listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you know, it's not too late to get saved. Trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Heaven is real. Hell is too hot. Amen. And you're going to go either one or to the other after your life is over. Doesn't have to be that way. You can be on your way to heaven by simply receiving God's free gift of eternal life. How do you get that? Just pray and trust Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your life, forgive you of all your sins. Receive him as your Lord and personal Savior. He will save you, he will seal you, and he will give you not only a new life now here on earth, but eternal life one day in heaven. It doesn't get any better than that. You can do what Dave and his wife Maggie Florio did today. Call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. How do I do that? Pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and you died on the cross for my sins. Serve your judgment and wrath. I ask for your forgiveness. I repent of my sins today. I have a change of mind, change of heart, change of attitude concerning my sin. And I receive your free gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Make me a new creation in you today. And I receive your free gift of eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me today. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, 45 minutes goes by just like that. But if you pray that prayer, I want to hear from you. Just send me a Facebook Messenger or an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Let me know that you pray that prayer and you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. I want to rejoice with you. All these Christians on here want to rejoice with you, and there's a new name written down in glory. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Well, folks, I got to sign off. I got to get off. If you're just tuning in right now, you just came into the end of the broadcast. Well, go back to the beginning and listen to how Hebrew almost became the official language of the United States of America and how that plays in to Bible prophecy. Folks, Jesus is coming soon, and it could be today. All I can say to that is, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and keep looking up. He is indeed coming soon. Shalom.